Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
When I tell you to go fuck yourself, just know it's because I'm passionate and I have high goals.
Oh my gosh. If you come for me, wait. How about just this? You can stick those Louis Vuitton AirBuds. Wait, no. You can lollipop chicken drum stick those AirPod Louis Vuittons up.
Okay, we've lost the plot.
Okay, I don't have one. This is what happens when you literally we record right after we watch the show.
Yeah.
Well, this one, if you're listening, is episode season one, episode four. Was that the dog?
Yeah, that was a weird noise.
And this one is the one, it starts with the continuation of the flapper party. Wait, we didn't. Okay, should we just start over?
No. I was like, what are you talking about?
I'm Tyler.
I'm Travis.
And this is Privileged Wings.
A podcast where
we recap
Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Which is in Utah.
And this season, we are going back in time and recapping the very first season. We are now on episode four.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The one where it starts with the continuation of the
Flappers party. The not 1920s, not flappers, but strippers party.
Yeah. And ends with the first half of Mary's Met Gala luncheon. Mm-hmm. In Salt Lake City news, supposedly, rumor has it, Mary has signed a full-time contract.
Yes. Very glad to see that.
Mm-hmm. You are.
I am. You know what? Rewatching this, I don't blame myself because when you're watching something for the first time, it's all very new. There's so many things to think about. But going back and watching it, I really like Mary a lot more. And I really think she was in the right most of the time. But like going back and watching this, I was like, oh, I don't think I was not on Mary's side at the beginning, but I just think I wasn't like fully committed. And now I'm like, oh, she was like,
yeah.
And I don't think she was that crazy.
I do think she says some stuff in this next episode that's not good, if I remember right.
The gas station. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm not saying she's perfect. I'm just saying up until now, like I also think the newness of the grandpa fucker stuff was like so bizarre that I wasn't really thinking about what she was doing. I was thinking about, bitch, you married your step grandpa. What is that? What is that about? What is that?
And you weren't thinking enough about how that makes great TV.
Oh no, I was entertained. I just mean I wasn't really thinking so much about what she was saying or her actions or like how, you know, it wasn't just that, it was like everything altogether. Whereas now watching it back, I already know, like, that's not news to me. So I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. I think she is like much less crazy than I thought she was. Mm.
Okay. Well, the other news, well, do you want to talk at all about like the stuff that's happening with Atlanta or do you know?
The only thing I know about Atlanta is that Candy is stepping down after a stupendously long run. Mm-hmm. And they're bringing Portia back.
And Kenya.
Well, Kenya's been on the show.
Well, it's just going to be like their reunion. And supposedly, people are saying Kim and Croy might be back as of today.
Oh.
So it could be.
Well, they're still divorcing, aren't they?
Yeah. That's why it could be a storyline. But I'm just saying Portia, Kenya, and Kim could all be on the same season again together.
Yeah. And Kenya and Kim do not get along. But that's not surprising because Kim is good television and Kim does need a check.
But also it's just like one, it's a rumor. It's not like confirmed by anybody yet. I think the other ones are confirmed.
Yeah. I mean,
same with Mary.
Elena just needs a lot of help. There's like half that cast can go.
Yeah. What are you thinking about? Miami is such good TV right now.
Make Kiki full time, please.
And Adriana.
Yeah. The fact that it still goes over my head that she's not. I remember that Kiki's not because I feel like we don't know much about, but Adriana, I remember from the original series. So I know so much about her already that I don't think about that. But yeah, make her full time.
Give them the cocktail.
I don't think Marisol wants. I think Marisol is also really good TV. I don't think she wants to be full time.
Yeah,
because she can go off and do it. Sometimes Marisol, she's just like, I'm going to be gone.
Confessionals than anybody.
She's entertaining.
I'm just saying she has more confessionals than anybody, and she's not full time.
Yeah, but I think I don't know why I just got this in my head, but I just think that she likes her. Like she can just go and do what she wants when they're filming.
Like, well, it's like clearly next week she's not going to be there.
Right. Like she's like, I don't want to do this. I'm going to go. Like, she can do that because she's not.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Obligated contractually.
Beverly Hills has just turned into like mini documentaries about each of their lives, and they're hardly ever together right now.
Huh.
We're following Sutton's horse theme. We're following
Garcelle's
children.
But they were just on the trip to Barcelona all together.
Yeah. I just think this episode was very, like, it's like, I don't know. When I'm watching this one, like, they purposely try to put all of them in situations together, always.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, it's just like they're all separate unless they're at, like, one party together. Or one trip together.
I don't mind that they're doing a little deep dive on some of their personal stories. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I guess Kyle meets Sutton at the horse rink or whatever, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then Traders. Do you think Kate's going to accept the offer?
Yeah, she's not going to go home.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so either.
But she wanted to be a villain.
They should have made that the Peter offer. Like, either die or get traitored.
Oh, I think she had just come back, though.
Yeah.
Right, so maybe they didn't know enough about her yet to, like, feel it out.
No, I'm saying I wish that the producers would have said Peter's offer was either take it or get murdered.
Oh, right. I see what you're saying. Yeah, that would have been. Well, that would have been.
No one's going to deny that. No one's going to be like, okay, fine, I'll go home.
No, but I think it was smarter production wise because, like, now he knew that they were trying to turn him. I don't know. I think it was fine for the story.
Mm.
But now that it's down to one traitor, it's like you can't say try to murder or try to convert. You know what I mean?
And
it's
then
like,
not murder at all.
Yeah, that would be too rough on the
Phaedra.
But on the traitor side, so it's like you'll get one either way. You're gonna win either way.
Phaedra has such good comebacks. Mm-hmm. Oh, when she said, "I'm not frantic like you."
Yeah,
I was like, "Ooh."
She tried it.
You know, I think I would do good on the traitors.
I don't know if you were faithful. I don't think I mean I, we just acting? Have to say no don't act like that we've said the same we have both said the same thing about when we play what's that game Wolfhound
Mafia or whatever.
Mafia yeah where you get assigned roles and we're both really bad at being like lying.
Yeah, I would want to be Alan Cumming's role.
Oh, the host.
The host. Yeah. But I think I would be good at these little like you can dump crickets on my head and I'm not gonna freak out.
Oh.
Like, I'd be good at those kind of challenges.
Right. Okay.
Okay, never mind.
No, I just mean the show's not about the challenges, though. The show's about, like, sussing out the...
But if you back out of it, then you're never going to get the shield or whatever in certain situations.
That's true.
But I guess for the most part, it doesn't really matter. Like, the people that fell into the mud last week were the ones that got out.
Yeah. The meat and potatoes of the show is either finding who the traitors are or, like, hiding.
Yeah, but I think I would be good at like just making up lies and shit and talking like kind of becoming the Peter role, even if I was a traitor.
What I don't understand is why they haven't used that against Peter, because I would say
they're about to. It seems like.
Yeah, but they should have done that two episodes ago where it was like, OK, you're a traitor. You've positioned yourself as this like ultra powerful faithful. and you and your little trader friends have made it seem like you're the ultra faithful and you're just picking people off and nobody thinks anything of it. Like, that's what I would have been doing.
Mm-hmm. But now that he's changing his tune a little bit.
No, I know. But even before, I feel like they would have had a good shot at just getting him banished by everybody because he like took too big of a leader role.
True. True.
That's what I would have done.
Okay. You ready to start this episode?
Hell yeah.
Okay, so we enter, if we remember, last week was the first half of the Flapper Party. Not really that much happened, except Jen was kind of giving, like, looks at Meredith and Mary talking. And then now, Jen basically asks Meredith if they can sit down. And she says she's feeling insecure about the whole, like, sleepover plan falling through. And then now she's going to Mary's church and blah, blah, blah. Was that why? She just feels like she's becoming really good friends with Mary and maybe, like, opposing Jen. And Meredith says, like, that's not it at all. She doesn't get involved in people's conflicts, other people's conflicts.
Which is that true? I don't know. I mean, she does stay out of things for a lot of with things.
She disengages. Mm-hmm. But she talks behind the scenes, I think.
Yeah.
But that's still not getting... She's saying she's not going to let them two fighting get between her being friends with both of them. And I think that's true.
That's consistent for Meredith. Yeah. She does do that.
Jen's basically mad at her, saying like you can't be Switzerland all the time. You have to like decide who you're loyal to.
But Switzerland is Switzerland all the time. So yeah. In fact, you can be Switzerland all the time.
I did think that it was interesting that in her confessional, Meredith said that this woman is unhinged about Jen.
Yeah, I didn't. That confessional look is something, man. It's like a very mid brown wig bob thing.
Here's the thing.
With a very boxy boobed sweater. I'm like,
the thing is, none of them have glam teams or stylists at this point. And it shows.
It showed. It truly do.
They try,
but I will say Meredith.
Well, aside from Jen. And it shows that Jen has a whole glam team.
Yeah, but Meredith is always... I don't remember thinking this from the back, because I think about more recent seasons, like she just can look different at different angles, mm-hmm. but she always looks good. But she looks so good all the time. Her face is so pretty. But then her pictures from the past, I'm like, no matter what, she looks different sometimes, but she always looks really good.
She does.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the face. I don't know about, you know, the wig or the jacket sometimes, but.
She got.
The mug is mugging.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so then Jen starts crying because she's like, how can you be friends with someone who's fucking with my family?
Mm-hmm.
Still talking about hospital smell.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And then Meredith's like, I thought we all saw you guys like hugging and crying it out at the party. So what changed?
So what the fuck?
And Jen said that she's not over it, I guess. Then we get the first mention of the lollipop chicken drumstick.
When Heather, are there multiple mentions?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
They just keep showing Heather and she mentions that. Which I don't even know what that means.
I think it was just a chicken nugget on a stick or something.
Why drumstick though?
I don't know.
That implies to me like
a whole chicken leg. Yeah.
On a stick is what I picture.
I don't know. I think it was just like a big chicken nugget. It looks like a drumstick.
But they never show it. I wanted them to show what it was.
I don't know. I think it's just a lollipop chicken.
Okay. Meredith thought that everything was fine, as I said. And she doesn't want like people dictating who should be friends with who.
Right.
Lisa goes over and is kind of like, simmer down. It's a party. Yeah,
simmer down. Oh.
And Meredith disengages and leaves the table.
Yeah, I am not engaging. In fact, I'm disengaging. I will not engage.
She does say it 4 times.
I know. In case you weren't aware.
And this is when we get the phrase, she turns to Lisa and says, how are you going to be friends with Mary who fucks her grandfather?
Yeah.
And Mary says she heard it.
Yeah, right. With one table back to the right.
I know. Yeah.
He's like right there.
I will say the party must have been really loud because the audio people were working overtime just to get us to hear what those people were screaming.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't have surprised me if she didn't hear it, but Jen was screaming. So,
well, so what did you think about Jen's outburst to begin with?
You can really tell Jen is wasted at this point.
Mm-hmm. The way she was drinking her cup.
She was, yeah.
The way she was like, I don't know. The way she was doing it was like, oh, you're pretty drunk.
Well, and even like after this, Lisa says like,
no more tequila.
Yeah, no more tequila. Mm-hmm. Which for someone pushing a tequila brand, to say that.
And choice words.
No, I just mean, you know, it's really bad.
This is not Vita tequila.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it kind of, to me, all of these moments really, like, it's interesting watching it in hindsight and knowing, obviously, later in this episode, she talks about the stress of Coach Shaw not being there, her dad dying a year ago, the stress it puts on her as the oldest sibling. But to me, you can kind of tell there's something else going on in her life. And we just didn't know it at the time, but now we do know it.
But I don't, you're saying she knew about the investigation at this point? Because I don't think she did.
If you're a multi-millionaire from defrauding people and you're it goes all the way to the top and you're the top, I think that would be stressful.
Yeah, but I don't, but you're insinuating that she was aware that it could come crashing, like that some, they were on her heels.
Yeah, but if you're doing something like this,
so you're just saying,
have to be hyper aware that something could come crashing down at any moment.
So you're just saying the general stress of like knowing that you're rich because of fraud.
Yeah.
But she had been on that list for like a decade. So she's been doing this for a long time.
True. Maybe she did know some shit was coming. I don't know. To me, it just feels like there's a lot going on in her head that's not anything to do with what's going on in front of her.
Hmm. I don't know that I fully agree with that, but I could see it how it could be the case.
It's just the outbursts are literally insane.
Yeah. But some people just, I mean, there have been other housewives who react equally dramatically, at least in front of the camera.
Sure.
And Teresa. They're not in prison. Well, she did go to prison, but not.
And there we go.
But no, but there are other ones. There are many other ones. Anyways.
I don't know. Just the, and like, so after all this, right? Well, Heather had a funny moment where she was saying, like, between the strippers yelling grandpa fucking and drinking, like, all the other people, aka Mormons in the town, would melt their faces would off. Melt.
Yeah. There was something, I don't know if you had written this down, but Whitney and Heather both said the same thing, and I found it very, like, I was like, if I heard myself say that, I would feel like I would be like, I have to have a come to Jesus moment with myself. Mm. Where they both said that they were comforting Jen out of fear of,
because they didn't want it to turn on them.
They immediately were like, I'm just gonna go do this so she knows that we're good, so that she doesn't attack me, like, I'm scared of her.
Which is interesting, because 2 seconds later she does attack Heather. Mm-hmm. Even though Heather's the only one helping her in this situation.
Yeah. And it's just also a callback to the last reunion was like, this is kind of like a callback to that, where they all said that they were like in the grips of fear over her.
Yeah. What's weird.
So it's already from like the beginning. They're already just like afraid of her.
Yeah. It's just weird how much this loyalty or whatever you want to call it between her and Heather like grows in the span of like 3 years. Like, it's not like they've known each other their whole lives. They've been best friends forever.
Right.
Like, it kind of feels like they're all coming into the situation not really knowing each other.
I mean, they all sort of say that, except for, well, I mean, like, Lisa and Meredith have known each other for a while. Heather says she's known, like, Meredith says she met Jen a year ago, which is, I think, during casting or something.
Right.
And, but Heather says she's known Jen for years. So prior to that.
Yeah. I don't know. Just the way they're talking about it is like, I just know that if I want to, like, I'm scared, and so if I want to stay on the good side, I need to be like making myself known in the situation.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with admitting that you're afraid of some like confrontation with somebody, but it's the going up and comforting them, even if you think they're wrong, just so you don't have to deal with it. That's a big flag for like that. If I saw myself doing that, I'd be like, what are we doing?
Well, Whitney, to be fair, Whitney says she's going to take like not engage in it. Like, she doesn't really go up to her and comfort her.
She does. She sat down and put her arm around her.
Huh.
Yeah.
I thought that was Lisa and Heather.
Lisa went first. And then after Lisa and Meredith were off doing something that...
See, in taking notes, sometimes I miss who sits... I thought Lisa was still on the other side of her.
Mm-mm. Well, I mean, maybe she was at one part. But I know Whitney put her arm around her and was like trying to... I mean, also... If she was like, oh, well, it's my party, I'm just trying to simmer the situation down. Like, okay, cool. But she was saying she was afraid. And I'm like, that's a boot. I don't like that.
So then Heather, like, okay, Jen runs out of the restaurant carrying her long train in her hands.
Mm-hmm.
Heather gets up and again says to guard her lollipop drumsticks.
Yeah.
Not even calling them lollipop.
She said hamburger. She said, don't clear the hamburger.
And then, and don't touch my lollipop drumsticks.
Oh, okay.
So she goes out the door and is like, Jen. Oh, wait. Someone from Jacksonville is calling you. Do you think that's a spam?
Probably.
So then Heather is like, Jen. And then she's like, don't fucking yell at me.
Yeah.
She says, fuck off. Don't yell at me. I want to go home. She has Coach Shaw on the phone. Heather takes the phone and is like, you're going to see me. I look like a flapper with cankles.
Yeah. Self-deprecating.
Heather calms Jen down and gets her in the car. And then, like, her last words are like, fuck Meredith.
Yeah.
And then they leave.
I thought this whole scene was kind of cringe with Heather. Maybe it's just like,
it's just getting your drunk friend home at that point.
Yeah. 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 But it was the confessional saying, like, you know, you just have to, like, she's just like a little, later. She's a little bomb and you have to soothe her so she doesn't. And I'm like, oh, okay. Which, I mean, but you saying, reminding me that she was just, it is just getting your drink. Like, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you'll say anything. I mean, I have done the same. You know, you'll just say whatever to make them
go. To calm them down and like, go and get home.
Keep them in the car and go home, please. Thank you. Goodbye.
Exactly.
I don't get it. Right.
Okay. Then there's like a very dramatic cue card that's like, the next day.
Right. I know. I
was like, and then it's just all them talking about what happened.
Yeah. Okay. Giving season one where we weren't sure.
Yeah, exactly. There are also so many flashbacks to like 2 months ago, 6 months ago, all this stuff. I'm like, how much did they film before we got to the actual point of like Housewives?
Maybe it was like testers, you know, to see how it was going to like.
Well, it's also out there that this wasn't, they didn't know this was going to be Housewives. So did they film a bunch of stuff like with a different format for a minute until they.
I could see that.
Got to this point. It's just interesting.
Yeah.
Because I feel like. And maybe I just never have broken down Housewives the way that we have to on this podcast. So I've never really noticed it if they do that, but I've never noticed it before.
Yeah.
So I'll just run down the general consensus. Whitney and Mary are talking at her house and Mary said she enjoyed the party until the end of the night. Heather and Lisa sit down and are like, Heather says, she could see the storm brewing and wanted to calm it. Meredith, like, explains everything that happened to Brooks. Lisa says, like, she shouldn't have said those things about Mary. And again, maybe it's just that she was drunk and was just trying to, like, get her to calm down. But, bitch, say that if you're feeling that in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of how I feel.
Yeah, I already, like, even glossed over the whole grandpa fucker of it all. But mm-hmm. that, I mean, especially if you're fighting with Meredith, why are you dragging Mary? I mean, even though you're mad she's talking to Mary, don't drag Mary into it.
It's also a Excuse little me. Bit like she does fuck her grandpa. Like
you said, it's rude, but
it's true. I don't know. It's like, it's not even a read. It's just saying the truth out loud.
Yeah. I mean, I think the way she said it is also, I mean, it's not fair in the sense of like, it's not Mary's biological grandfather.
I know.
It's still very strange that you are married to the man who was married to your grandmother, who your grandmother also slept with
and for a long
period of time.
Yeah.
And then you kind of took that over. So that there is a level of strangeness there. But just saying grandpa fucker makes it sound like she's having sex with her biological grandmother. Like there's like extra layers of weird beyond what actually is happening.
Yeah. So Meredith comes to the consensus, or Meredith says she wants an apology. Mary kind of comes to the consensus that she wants to be the big dog. Jen wants to be the big dog, but in this moment, I think she's kind of feeling a little bit like Mary also has all this money, a lot of charisma, and she doesn't want to see like the cast like leaning toward her more.
Yeah. And also, I think like Mary is... Well, I could imagine being in that situation and knowing that people are talking about it, but nobody's saying it to your face.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's somebody just like blurts it out
on
camera at a party. I know that's not anything to do with the big dog, but I can imagine it shook her a little bit.
Probably, yeah. Mm-hmm. And because she obviously knows that's going to come up, and she's talked about it in her confessionals and stuff. But like, if you're on a TV show, that's not the thing you want to be known for.
Right.
And yet you're going to be now.
Yeah.
So then Meredith and Lisa go shopping for interesting art. We'll put it that way. Why are you looking at that face?
Because it was interesting. I mean, art is so subjective, but also I just feel like sometimes rich people have terrible taste.
Or it's like, just because you're rich doesn't mean you shouldn't put up things that have a meaning to you.
Yeah.
Like they showed like weird mountains, like weird abstract art, and then like one that's like a super glossy one with like a realistic bear in the middle. Like it just like was weird shit.
Yeah.
And I just feel like the things you... She says, like, I just want my home to feel like me. I like clean lines and minimalism and blah, blah, blah.
Monochromatic.
But I'm like, none of if that you was. Want to feel like you, then find, like, an artist you really like. Or find, like, or go to a... Not this weird store like this. Go to, like, an antique mall and find things that, like, eclectic things that are real to you. Like, it just feels really weird saying you want something to feel like you, and then you go and it's like the ugliest minimalist art that you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. But it wasn't even minimalist.
Yeah, that's true. Some of it wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whatever you want to call it. It's just interesting. It's can also I touch? Interesting knowing. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Can I touch?
Well,
can I touch?
Yeah. Lisa asks if she can touch three separate pieces of the art, and the lady keeps saying no. And she's like, you're my little toucher.
Yeah, you don't. Touch the art.
But I do think it's interesting. I don't know. The whole thing is just a weird concept to me because I always feel like if I'm going to put something in my house, I want it to be something to do with me. It's also interesting knowing that the art is going, she was saying all this, and then she moves houses like three more times since then. Like she has to feel like my house. It's like,
Also, girl, I mean, just like, get if you like monochromatic and like clean lines, like just get a big canvas that's all one color or something. Like why are you pulling out these tiny little, I mean, it's just a setup for a scene, it's fine, but they were, I don't know, I didn't get it, none of it fit.
Yeah.
Also, these people are all, I mean, maybe with a few exceptions, but they have significant amounts of money.
Buy real art.
You can afford if you don't have the wherewithal or the skill to like decorate your own home or pick out, like pay someone to do that for you because it will be much better.
Like pay a designer.
Yeah. Get an interior designer.
Yeah. All their houses look staged to sell.
Yeah.
With like art that's bad.
Yeah.
To fill walls, basically.
Yeah. And I know we're going to get to it eventually, so I'm going to jump the gun a little bit, but like, since we're talking about homes, but I feel the same, like, about Mary's house, it's you have so much money.
But here's the thing. Mary likes that aesthetic. You know Mary went and picked out all turquoise kitchen, green floors, and those weird-ass chairs herself. And it might not be your taste, it might not be most people's taste, but she likes it and finds joy in it. But I think these other things just feel like almost like so bland that they're not, it like looks like no one lives there. At least Mary's is like to her.
Yeah. But I just feel like there's a way to marry all the things that Mary has in Mary's home. Marry the things. It is a little.
It's just, she doesn't want to do that.
I guess. Yeah. I will also say I've never seen a microwave on legs like that. I kept looking at it in that scene. I have never once seen anybody have a microwave that had legs. And I was just like, what is this creature?
Okay, you always tell me about jumping the gun and you're literally jumping five scenes right now. And
I
not
know,
talking about
but I already explained scene. What was happening.
Okay, we have to finish with this scene, right? which is basically Meredith tells Lisa that she and Seth are separated.
Yeah.
And Lisa gets upset about it because she's, like, their families hang out all the time. She loves Seth. Blah, blah, blah.
And this also, like, lended a bit of gravity to like the future seasons of how bad their friendship got, because this felt really genuine.
It did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh yeah, they really were like good friends. Like, even if they weren't, maybe they, I could see them hyping up the, oh, we're sisters of it all in the first season, but I really think they were close.
Yeah. They hang out outside of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And she also says the only person she's told is Jen so far, which
that's a choice.
Exactly. Because later, basically everyone just tells everybody about this secret.
Mm-hmm.
It's not secret.
But Lisa was smart in there. She's like, I'm not going to talk about it. So if somebody else talks about it, you know who it is.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. So then Meredith cries a little bit too. And she basically is saying that like, they're only seeing each other still, and that they're trying to kind of like date a little bit and like see if they can mend it, which we know they do, obviously.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So then we get Mary's house. Lisa comes over. She says it's magical, but disjointed from her personal style, because she likes Mary's personal style. But I think it's perfectly aligned with Mary's style.
Yeah.
Because Mary wears way too much jewelry, way too many accessories.
Her style is eclectic.
Her style is...
She's mixing brands upon brands upon brands.
Yeah, her style is literally just buy anything colorful and weird from the top dollar brands and throw it all together.
Yeah, that's
true. And that's what her house is, too. But Lisa does say, like, it's not really her personal style, and it's feels eclectic.
But not Utah.
But not Utah, yes. Mm-hmm. Which I guess Lisa really doesn't want to appear Utah.
Yeah.
So then we get a little scene with Robert Jr., who we find out has bought his girlfriend a Prada purse and a chinchilla and a dog. And he wants to be a fashion designer, but apparently he used to want to be a brain surgeon. So Mary's like, where was that? Your girlfriend's changing you. Blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing. It just feels very much like he's a rich kid whose parents still give him everything. Why would he have ambitions?
Yeah.
It feels like, I mean, we've known him for 4 years now and he's still the same. Just living there.
Yeah.
Having her money.
Which... good for him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think some people have a natural like inner drive to do things regardless of their upbringing, but I don't see that for him.
Yeah. So then we find out that she's having this Met Gala lunch. She's kind of conflicted on if she wants to invite Jen or not, because she keeps saying that Jen said, you're a grandpa MF-er, like grandpa motherfucker,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Like, do you think she is taking it like in a different way, or she knows what she meant was fucker?
No, I think she
like literal fucking him.
No. Oh,
because she keeps saying motherfucker.
No, I think she knew. Maybe she's saying it weird to downplay it in her mind or something. But she knew.
Maybe she also like conflicts sayings a lot. I feel like.
Yeah, I don't think it was. Maybe it's subconscious, but but she knows what was said.
Yeah. She says it's hard being Mary right now.
Oh,
because if she invites Jen, then it could make the party really weird. If she doesn't invite Jen, then it's going to like ruin that relationship, whatever that means.
I do think she's being the bigger person for herself and for the show, but I also feel like that I agree with Whitney and that I would not have, I don't think I would have invited her.
Yeah. And clearly we know where it goes.
Because you weren't even, she wasn't even fighting with you. She wasn't mad at you and shouted that in your face, which maybe that would have been worse. I don't know. But in a separate fight in which somehow you are also a topic, she screams, says that.
That's true.
You know? So it's like, I don't know. I wouldn't want that. That's,
and which also makes me feel like that's not what she doesn't know what she was saying. I don't know.
Well, I mean, we have to. This is another thing I was conflicted about the first when we first watched this, because I was seeing Mary as like, I'm like, oh, you're supposed to be a pastor to some degree. And I don't think housewife behavior aligns with pastor, spiritual leader behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this guy, I mean, but I could see like how she'd be like, I have to be the bigger, like, not because of her job, but like, if you've spent a lot of time and thought about morals and being a good person than maybe be like being like I can be bigger than this.
Yeah, but also calling party planners idiots and fat shaming people is not pastor behavior.
Exactly.
Or being racist.
Oh, okay.
What? I can't. I'm not going to cut that because she literally says racist things all the time in this season and the next season.
It's just beginning.
Okay. So then at Heather's house, Jen comes over and she's ordered sushi. We find out Heather has been dating a guy who she calls Cowboy. And then she asks if Jen is okay. And Jen says, I'm okay. Like, how do my lips look or whatever? And she said, Heather says, physically, you're a dream. Emotionally, total mess. What's going on, babe?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
So Jen says that last week was a really hard week because Coach Shaw was gone and her dad's passing was a year ago. And then they show Jen at the grave with her, with Sharif Jr. And she basically is just saying that she feels like really alone right now. Mm-hmm. And Heather says that she feels, this is in a confessional, but she says she feels like she's putting this energy and like anger that she has with Sharif toward Meredith and Mary and everyone else in her life when the real anger should be at him for being gone all the time.
Yeah, I feel like she's saying she's lonely. She feels abandoned by her. To some degree, lonely / abandoned by her father who passed and by her husband who's not present.
Yes.
And so...
And he missed the funeral last year because he was at a football game.
Yeah. And so Meredith, anything that makes her feel like somebody's leaving her is going to set her off.
Yes.
I do think it's crazy that he missed the funeral.
Yeah.
Like, that's nuts to me. I don't know. I mean, I can't speak to like what football coaches are expected to do, but I feel like it's pretty obscene for
isn't any, it also like college?
Mm-hmm. It's pretty obscene for any employer to like to pull you away from
a
that
funeral.
Time. Yeah. I mean, it's bad enough when they're like, okay, well, that's not your immediate family, so you don't get bereavement time for that. But you still, I don't know, like, that was your wife's father, your father, and like legally your family, immediate family. Like you should be able to, they should in fact encourage you to grieve, you know?
Yeah.
So if they did it, like that's wild and uncouth and uncalled for.
Cute.
And they should be fired from life, not life,
but oh my God.
From existence. Like burn it down. Like that's unnecessary.
Yeah.
Football's not worth that. There's no sport that is worth all that.
Well, let's just say I've recently gotten into sports betting. And by that, I mean, I bet on one game and won on it. So now I think football is life.
Okay.
Just kidding. I bet on a basketball game. So. Okay. So then in this moment, we also find out that she paid $85,000 for the birthday party for Meredith, which also is just funny that she keeps saying it was for Meredith when it was for you.
Right.
And she also reveals that Meredith is separating from Seth. And Heather's like, wait, I did not know that. Mm. And then that's when they show this 2 month earlier thing when Jen and Meredith are talking about them.
Yeah.
And Jen just says she thought that they were better friends. That's all. So I guess setting a boundary on their friendship now. So
I'm just going to say this before we get to the end. I'm not jumping the gun, but I'm just laying the groundwork here. Mm-hmm. I'm laying the groundwork. Mm-hmm. I just, from this point and then other things that are said later, I just feel like Jen is really good about taking what is a real reason and twisting it to her benefit. Because I don't think she's, I'll save it for later, but I think she starts to do that a little bit in the scene where she's like, it is true. Like I can see how you're, it's not so, I mean, it's not so bad this scene. Cause I do think that really impacts how she's feeling. And then it makes sense that if she feels abandoned, she starts to freak out, but she doesn't quite say that. And I do think all that stuff is stressful, but I will say more at the, when we get to the Met Gala dinner thing.
Okay. Well, at the Met Gala lunch.
Already there.
Mary is setting up the party with her party planners. She wanted to do the Met Gala thing so that everyone would have a reason to dress up, because I guess she says people don't do that often in Utah. And she says to her party planners, do you guys know how to read? Because the names are upside down. It's okay. Just a little major flaw.
Okay. This is another about face for me a little bit. Whereas, like, I don't think you need to be mean to people. But I think part of this was the edit. I think the way they edited it made it look, like, worse.
Do you guys know how to read?
Okay, if you're paying somebody and they're setting stuff out and then they put it upside down. Just
say,
down,
make sure the names face the chairs. Mama, no. All you have to say.
Mama, no. If you're getting paid money, I shouldn't have to tell you that. I agree with her. I don't think she had to be mean about it. But at the same time,
you're,
I was like,
you're a Mary apologist this season.
I am. It's a weird look. I don't know. I'm just saying.
She's still just,
I am overly
too mean to people.
I'm overly
in her
nice
life that are
to people.
Supposed to be fun.
I'm overly nice to people.
That are supposed to be friends.
Huh?
She's just too mean to the people in her life that are supposed to be friends to her. That's all I'm saying.
That's true. And she didn't have to handle it that way. But I understand having, like, the high standard and saying, like, listen.
Do you know how to read? You would say that?
That's what I'm saying. No, I'm saying she could have addressed it differently and not such a mean way, but I don't blame her for being stern about it or for being, like, upset, because you're trying to put something together. Like, why would you put it upside down?
Well, why would you put, like, weird fish bowls on a table at a restaurant either?
I don't know. I mean, it's not a choice I would have made, but I'm just saying.
Okay, so then Jen, we see Jen getting ready. She's getting a pep talk from Coach Shaw. He says, be aware of your own anger. Heather says it's hard. The theme is hard because it's Met Gala, but that doesn't mean anything because the Met Gala has different themes that change every year. And it's also a lunch and it's midday and there's just a dress cocktail, but it's in Utah. Like, it just feels very disjointed. And then when they show up, it's even more disjointed.
Yeah.
Because they show up and there's, like, a red carpet, but then there's, like, for some reason, like, guys dressed like the British, what are they called?
Beefeaters.
Mm-hmm. And it's so many things going on. Like, if I was going to do something like that and have, like, a theme that was supposed to be, like, celebrity red carpet, then I would have, like, guys dressed up as, like, security guards and, like, maybe, like, a paparazzi, like, a Getty Images photographer or something like that.
Yeah.
Not, like, beef eaters. It just doesn't make any sense.
They're also supposed to be, I mean, they're, like, military.
Yeah.
Not, like, older, thicker individuals.
I'm sure, like, there's some thick beef eaters. Okay.
Okay. It was very, the whole thing was just bizarre.
Yeah, it was.
And I don't agree that, well, actually, I guess I do agree with Heather and that she picked it just because it sounded fancy.
Yeah.
But I think Mary knows what the Met Gala is.
I mean, yes, you can know what the Met Gala is, but Met Gala always has different themes. So say you're going, say Oscar party or something like that, not Met Gala.
Yeah.
Because Met Gala has a different theme every year. She's like, I think ostrich feathers and big, bold things. I'm like, that's because the theme was camp this year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then Heather is telling Whitney in the car about them getting, about the separation. That's basically the only new thing that happens in this car ride. Lisa says she must really love Christmas because when she went to her house, all her Christmas stuff was still up and it sounds like Christmas is over.
Yeah.
And B, she says when they get there, there's toy soldiers.
Yeah.
AKA the beef eaters.
Yeah.
And so then they come in, she's drinking Dom Perignon 2003 and she tells that little story of the drought in 2003, which caused over 5,300 people to die, but it made the best grapes of all time. Yeah, heat wave. Which also doesn't seem very pastorally to say 5,300 people gave their lives so I could have this wine. Tastes good. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's bad. I agree. I mean, I think saying it in like, it's just kind of a factual way, but you didn't need to like include that.
Yeah. So then,
but I mean, it also, I guess, could be bad to say there was a heat wave and it made the best grapes and then leave out the
fact you could,
people, I don't know. I guess no, you didn't need to say that.
You don't need to say that the people died. You could just say that year the weather conditions made the grapes the best they've ever been. Something like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's Louis Vuitton like earbuds at every table mm-hmm. or at every seat. They pray and Mary cries when she thanks God for all of the each woman mm-hmm. by name. And
which, I mean, do you think that was like a real emotion or do you think she was putting it on?
Maybe she has real emotion when she like quote is talking to God or whatever. Cause I mean, she's a pastor, but it feels put on to do that. Like it feels like she knows when she does that at the front of the church, then people respond well to it.
I can see that.
And she also gives each of them a notebook and she wants them to write things down, something that people might not know about them.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get a remark that the chef made this thing with a certain type of truffle that cost $8,000 a pound. Which, now that you're on the Mary train, I'm just going to say every hypocritical thing that comes out of her mouth, which is that you shouldn't care about worldly possessions. And then she makes it known that everyone at the table has Louis Vuitton things and $8,000 truffles.
I want to interject here and say that while I am seeing Mary in a different light, it does not equate to me agreeing with rich pastors.
Okay.
Yeah. You remember when Jesus said,
"Okay, Joel Osteen lover,
easier for you to what was it? Thread the eye of a needle in the middle of a haystack than to get into heaven." Okay, for a rich person to do that, so
it would be easier to thread a camel through the eye of a needle.
Yeah,
wasn't it that
something like that? Something impossible. Okay,
I think you're conflating that with needle in a haystack.
Yeah. We're just adding an extra layer of difficulty.
So then she's basically like, let's go around and read everything that we wrote down in the book. So she starts, she says she wants to make sure nobody interrupts each other. And she says, I have trust issues. Whitney said she agrees with that, because people who she thought she could trust have said things about her and she wants to make it clear she's not a swinger. So a little.
Well, she said her thing was that she's trying not to care so much about the opinions of others.
Oh yeah, but she's not a swinger,
right?
And then Lisa says, "I have extremely high goals for myself," and then starts crying.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I just
always want to be the best.
So much pressure on myself, but I love that about myself.
Yeah, it was giving. What's your worst quality in a job interview? I'm a perfectionist.
Yeah.
I'm just like so... goals. It's like annoying to people how perfect I try to be.
But Whitney does say that like no one loves herself more than Lisa loves herself, basically. Mm-hmm. And then Mary's also trying to be like really fun with Jen, I feel like. And she's like, Jen, girl, what's up with you?
She's trying.
Yeah. And so then this is when Jen goes on kind of a long tangent explaining parts about herself and why she acts the way she does. So she says, my dad grew up with nothing in Tonga. He came here trying to find a better life. In my culture, the oldest child has a lot of responsibilities to always be perfect. And it was hard because growing up here, everyone thought she was like different. People thought she was black, which she kind of is like trying to relate to Mary in this moment a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And she says she knows what it's like to climb from the bottom and climb your way to the top, which Lisa says, I feel you.
I know. I was like, ooh, don't say that.
In the middle of her talking about how hard it was to be a minority in Utah. So then she says, when I say you're my friend, I mean it. You're my fucking friend. And when something happens that makes me hurt, and I don't see people reciprocating the loyalty that my father instilled in me, then that hurts her.
Right. All this other stuff was superfluous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if what you meant was like, it's just loyalty is a big part of my culture. I got it from my dad. He's really, really important to me. And I feel like you didn't give that back to me. Like, that's a thread. The rest of it was just like unnecessary, if that's what you're really saying. And this is what I mean about she uses things that are real to her and are like impactful, but uses them to like win this argument. That's, and it's not really about that.
Mm.
Even though her reaction to Meredith was in part because of the passing of her dad. If, and that, like, what is him, what is you being the eldest and having a hard time have to do with anything about why you're fighting with Meredith? It doesn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she just wanted to tell her story.
Sympathy.
Mm.
Right? I'm not saying that those things aren't real and they're not bothering to her, but I think she knows that she can garner. It's just like good. It's a good. It is a relevant and good story. It's the wrong scenario.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense.
And so I'm like, you're just.
But I do think, like, when you're on. Instead of
authentically bonding with people, you're using something you know that they will feel sympathy for, rightfully, in order to, like, gain ground in this weird fight that you're in because you were feeling insecure. Mm. Because your husband's not at home.
Okay, true.
Yeah.
I saw it more as, like, I don't know. I thought it was interesting to see her open up more to people.
Well, and I think the first time I watched it, it did catch you off guard because you weren't expecting her to be
vulnerable, it seems like.
Exactly. But just wrong scenario.
Mm.
In hindsight, I'm just like, oh, this was it. Like, this is a little manipulative, in my opinion.
Mary does try to interject and be like, well, some, because Jen says, like, I might say things to you, but that's because I'm passionate about my friends. And Mary's like, well, sometimes you have to be careful about your words because they can cut deep.
Yeah.
Which is ironic to coming from her.
Right.
But it's true. Like, she said some horrible things about her. But
I also think this is the whole loyalty thing with Jen as a crock, in that she expects loyalty from people, but she does not, because she sees herself as the leader. And but she doesn't owe you that. She'll have your back when it's good, like as long as you're doing what you need to do as her follower.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like an equal relationship.
True.
Mm-hmm.
She does apologize to Meredith, and she said thank you, and she feels like she sees where it's coming from now. Meredith says that, but Mary said she wishes that she would have gotten an apology in this moment as well.
Uh-huh.
And she doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole thing really is about Mary being this opposition to her.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of apologizing for saying horrible things about her, she just apologizes to Meredith for yelling at her because she was backing Mary, basically.
Yeah.
And that's awkward. Where we leave it.
To be continued.
Which is interesting because normally when they do a to be continued, they don't show a next time on, but they did both.
I know, yeah.
So, I don't know. That was... I feel like it's either a next time on or a to be continued. Something.
Yeah.
This time we do get a next time on. We see the final blow up between Mary and Jen at the table.
Mm-hmm.
We see Whitney and her dad talking. And we see Seth and Meredith talking about how Seth wants Meredith to move to Canton, Ohio. But Meredith says she doesn't want to.
Right. Me either.
Right. That's about it.
Yeah.
Was there anything on this that you like forgot or felt differently about besides what you've already said?
No, I think I hit everything I wanted to say. I didn't like that they're Whitney and Heather were already like afraid of Jen.
Mm-hmm. It was weird seeing Lisa in Mary's house because knowing how much Mary can't stand Lisa now.
Yeah. Do you ever shut up? Do you have a mute button?
Right. You can also tell that, I think we touched on this last time, but that Lisa has not found like her glam that she gets in every day yet. Because at some point in the episode, she says like, my makeup was actually good today or something like that.
Mm.
And in every single confessional, it looks like it's done by a different makeup artist.
Yeah. I also think, I thought it was weird because Heather and Lisa's beef hasn't been resolved yet. I mean, they still, it's like a thing on the reunion, but they had us sit down and it was only talking about the fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, but that was just kind of a weird blip.
It was, like, yeah. After the flapper party, they showed like everybody's consensus, and there, you're right, there was a sit down lunch with Heather and Lisa, but I guess they didn't talk about their own issues in that lunch, or they would have shown it probably.
Yeah, it was.
I didn't think about that. Yeah, it was very, it was like literally like 10 seconds of their conversation.
Oh, you know what? The only thing I didn't, the one thing I forgot was that Heather said,
you know, you can,
what?
Just because we have lavalier microphones, you can't use it as if it's a pointer.
What do you mean?
You need to keep it in one place.
Oh.
You literally just did
it. I'm just waving it around. Okay, hold on. I clipped it to my fingernail. My finger, not my fingernail. Anyways. What was I saying? Oh, Heather said that she grew up in a culture obsessed with like proper woman behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jen being willing to act messy is something she had aspired to, but not been able to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she does achieve being messy in the future. But it explains a lot about her relationship. I say explains a lot. It adds a little insight into her relationship with Jen. It doesn't explain it.
Like, AKA, she likes that Jen is not afraid to, like, step outside of social norms.
I just mean there's a lot of question marks for me around why Heather would be so loyal to this person. Like, try to have a friendship with them, especially when they're at such odds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, over cultures. Not all culture stuff, but, like, and she had red flag. Like, why does she stick so hard by her? And I can see if she had developed this, like, loyal, like, I say, fear of her, but also like awe of her in the sense of like, oh, I wish I was like this person.
I do think there's
wanting that validation from them, that maybe that's part of the reason why she stuck with her for so long.
Yeah, maybe.
So, yeah. But that's otherwise, I think I'm still gagged by the microwave. Why does it have legs?
Don't know. Why is it also like cherry red chrome when the rest of her kitchen is turquoise?
Important questions about
things to think about.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that is the end of the episode.
All right.
If you enjoyed this episode of Privileged Twinks. Oh, also, we forgot to talk about that last episode.
Oh, right. The namesake came from after the last episode aired. Jen went on a Twitter rant and
called Brooks a privileged twink.
Yeah.
Which I don't think comes up till season two. The actual name, privileged twink.
Mm.
The actual showing it on camera, I mean.
But it was out there.
Yeah. And Jen liked it. I don't think she's called him that.
Yeah.
But either way.
Mm-hmm.
If you enjoyed this episode of Privileged Twinks, you can follow us on Instagram at Privileged Twinks, where every week I post a little graphic. There hasn't been very many memes recently on Twitter.
We're off season.
So it's probably just going to be a title card of the episode, but it's a good place to talk about your thoughts if you want to. These episodes will be coming out on Wednesday, so if you want to follow along with us, next week will be episode 5. So feel free to watch that anytime before next Wednesday. And also rate us and subscribe to us wherever you're listening. And we'll be back next week for episode 5.
Yes, thank you so much.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Travis.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.